What's up, internet? You're tuning in to episode 53 of Nintendo Noise, Flip Screen Games' weekly Nintendo podcast. I'm not Pete, I'm Stephen Radford, and as always, I'm joined by my very good friends and co-hosts, Mr. Chewy Plays.
Hello, hello.
And Miss Sierra Plus Ultra.
Goodbye, goodbye.
it's everything feels so weird. It's like things are mixed up, it's wrong, but we've got a new layout, we've got a new host, and Pete's not here. So, like, we've got two new hosts, I guess, like me and Sierra. But yeah, thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
So on to today's episode, YouTube been playing Kirby's Dream Buffet. So we're going to talk about that a little bit at the back half of the show. We've got some questions from the question block to answer, and we're going to be talking about our favorite boss and least favorite boss from a Nintendo game. But before that, I just need to remind you that this week's episode is brought to you by our Patreon producers for the month of August. They are, of course, Christian Oliveria, Christopher Valenz, Gabriel Hasemeyer, aka Asobi, Mary Berry, Smoky Shake, Wakahula, and Zaid Eda. Thank you very much for your support. You can, of course, find us all around the web. We're on Twitter, we're on, I guess, TikTok, but Pete's not put anything up there yet, so as people go bug Pete that we need to put TikToks up. We're on Twitch twice a week. If as of this episode dropping, Pete's going to be around tonight playing some Rollerdrome, so if you want to check that out at 6:30 Eastern, you can check out some Rollerdrome, which would be great. And you can find the rest of our links over on flipscreen.games, which is our website. So let's get into it. Pete put these notes together. He found some cool questions, as he is to do. And he found one over on Reddit, which was asking the question, what is your favorite boss and least favorite boss from a Nintendo game? And I don't really have a good answer, but I know, Chewy, you said you didn't. I think, Sierra, you had one as well.
Yeah, I definitely have least favorite.
Do you want to go ahead with your least favorite, then?
Yeah.
Thunderblight. Pain.
It's the worst.
Just so much pain and stress. Favorite boss, Tom Nook.
Oh, yeah, I guess Tom Nook is a boss. Like, he gets you working. So in like that regard, yeah. He's like a manager, like style boss.
Easiest boss to beat.
Just pay him money and eventually he goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen to hours and hours of dialogue.
Yeah.
He just keeps talking.
I know, but he gives you free loans. Then, like, what kind of bad boss would give you free loans? Like, so he's definitely up there as one of the favorites, I think, for that.
True. True. Thunderblight, though, I don't know what order you played the game in, Sierra, but literally Thunderblight was the last one that I went to. At this point, I was like, man, I am so good at this game. I'm just going to like zoom through this. And then I hit Thunderblight and I was just like, what even is this? Why? What do I have to do? I don't understand how to hit this thing. Like, it just completely threw me for a loop.
There's a huge ramp up in comparison to like the other blights to Thunderblight. I have a friend who streams Vague Magno. She went to Thunderblight first, and we had started the game at the same time. I was like, "What are you doing? How did you do it? How did you do it?" I guess like if you get the rubber armor, it's manageable still. But if you don't. What do you do?
I actually ended up there first as well, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I kept hitting him with metallic weapons because it was so early in the game, and I had no idea that that was going to cause issues. And so, like, I kept dying, and I had no idea because I hadn't, at this point, I don't think I'd encountered a thunderstorm outside. So I hadn't figured out that you can't have metal on you when there's, like, thunder and lightning going on because the thing sparked. And I was just like, what the hell's going on? I had no idea. And so I ended up giving up and going to, like, one of the other ones. I think I ended up doing the one at Zora's Domain first. I can't remember which one that is.
Yeah, I feel like that's typically the one that, like, the game tries to feed players into right at the beginning. But, Yeah, it's amazing that everybody just chooses to go their own way every single time they play that. It's awesome.
I love that that's actually possible, because some games, they make it seem like there's that possibility that you can do it in any order and it's completely nonlinear, but it's often not the case. But in Breath of the Wild, you actually can just go and defeat the hardest boss if you want to at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Every game I played after Breath of the Wild, I was like, why can't I climb this? Like, I can see just beyond this. Let me get through. We'll be good. So, yeah, just every... And no game has that freedom that Breath of the Wild managed to pull off. Like, just not in the same way, you know?
No.
Like, everything seems so reachable in that game. And you're like, I must get there.
But what about you two? What were your favorite and least favorite?
When this question came up, funny enough, I literally thought of the same series for both of the answers, because I've been kind of digging through Luigi's Mansion 3. I only kind of play it in October, so I haven't beaten the game yet since it came out like 2-3 Octobers ago. I forget how long now, but... Luigi's Mansion 3, I remember the last boss that I fought in there, I was just like, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea why this isn't working. I can't beat you. I just keep dying. And I eventually just looked up a video and I was like, oh, cool. So I am doing the right thing, but just like not long enough or not for, I don't know. It was something really dumb. And I was just like, that's a dumb boss. But at the same time, I remember playing Luigi's Mansion 2. And that game, it definitely like slows down and the quality lowers as you get further and further. But the first boss, I was just like, man, this is like really built out to use every part of the controller and all the moves that you learned up until this point in such a way that was just like incredibly satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like a spider boss in that one. That one. The boss I struggled with in Luigi's Mansion 3 was, I think it was like this city, it was like this miniature big city and you were both giants fighting along it, and I don't know, I didn't like that boss at all, but I'm beyond that part now, so we'll see how far I get this next October when I play again.
do you pull them out every Halloween?
Yeah, I guess so. It feels like a nice little Halloween game for me. I think as it gets closer to Halloween, I play it more often, but yeah, I've been saving them for October. So I'd say I'm well beyond halfway on 3, but I refuse to play any other time of year. So it just sits there waiting for me before it gets back there.
Fair enough.
I know. Yeah. It's like trying to watch like Hocus Pocus anytime other than October. It's just not right.
This year, we should all dress up as characters from Hocus Pocus. I'll shave ice into the back of my head.
You know, sounds I've good. Never seen it, and I know I really should.
You got to change that.
Yeah, it's a good
it's
movie.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's really good.
We always used to watch the Disney one. We always used to watch it that was on TV when we were a kid, was Halloween Town. Have you ever seen that one? It's it's one of my favorites.
Congratulations to the cast members of Halloween Town. I think a couple of them are getting married, right?
Yeah. Wow.
I saw that randomly on Twitter.
It was like the main girl and like her friend in the movie or like her love interest. I don't remember.
Are they getting married to each other or to like different people?
To each other. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so cute. Okay, that's really
yeah,
cool.
Right? Right?
So we'll watch Halloween Town this year for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have to watch Halloween Town for that.
Movie night.
So for me, I think my favorite, and I don't know if you can call it a boss, is the SAX from Metroid Fusion. I remember streaming that recently, and whenever it would show up, it was truly terrifying. I would scream. It was honestly horrific for a pixel... Our Game Boy game, I cannot imagine how like I would have played that as a child, because it was really scary whenever she showed up. And I think my least favorite is probably Bowser. I'm so sick and tired of Bowser and the exact same thing every single time. Like, oh, I've kidnapped a princess and now you've got to follow me and like have the same battle where you can't actually attack me because I've got spikes on my back and you've got to throw me at things in the environment, and it's just gets so tedious and boring. Like, I'm sure the first few times we all experienced like fights with Bowser, they were fine, but it just comes to a point where it's just like, okay, we need a new antagonist for Mario to take on at some point.
Yeah.
Bowser flop era.
Though I will say that Mario Odyssey Bowser battle at the end is pretty hype.
That one's really cool. You know what? That one is really cool, but it's more of like a chase scene than an actual fight, which I like. But I felt like it didn't need to be Bowser to do that. It could have been someone else chasing me. And it was only, I think, really cool because it had parallels with Jurassic Park, where the T-Rex is chasing them in the car.
Mm-hmm. This does make me... I'm trying to remember now, in the new Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope, is Bowser part of the team? I think in that one...
He's joining the team. Yeah, he's on their side. They haven't explained why yet, but then they never really explained why the Rabbids were meshed with Mario until the game released. Yeah. So I would imagine, we'll find out afterwards.
Yeah, I feel like that's the new Bowser trend at the moment. Like more games, Paper Mario Origami King, he kind of teams up with you a bit in that one.
I mean, Bowser's Fury, like his kid was just like, my dad's gone apeshit, can you please help me like calm him down, because he's not usually this bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's bad, but like not this bad. Yeah. I just want my dad back, you know?
So let's move into the question block then. We had a couple of questions. This first one comes from Navilius. Have any of you tried out the Diefeld Chronicles demo on Switch? It reminds me of a cross between Fire Emblem League of Legends and Final Fantasy XII.
Ah, so it's like a JRPG MOBA? I have not heard of it.
Yeah, I've seen it around because I go and dig through the eShop on a daily basis, mostly on like the coming soon section, because I'm like, please tell me when Ooblets is happening. I need that.
When
now.
Is Ooblets happening?
I don't know. They keep twice now. They've given updates about it. It's supposed to be this summer. Summer's nearly over. But they haven't announced an official date. All I'm assuming is there must be like a Nindy Direct Nintendo World thing coming up. Maybe that'll have it. But digging through the eShop, I've run into this game. The artwork has stopped me a bit because I do like that type of anime JRPG style. And I didn't know it had a demo, actually. Like, I never clicked through and saw that it had one. So I'll check it out. I love Fire Emblem. I like Final Fantasy. League of Legends, I haven't done too much, but have been interested in the past to play that. More so after Pokemon Unite, where I'm like, oh, these games are kind of fun. I like them.
Yeah, so this was the game that we saw at the... I think it was revealed at the PlayStation event earlier this year.
Oh.
And we all thought it was like a new Final Fantasy Tactics game. Final Fantasy Tactics game. But it's like it's kind of like that in style. Like, it's a you move the people around on the board kind of thing, but there's also the story element. So it very much does feel like a Final Fantasy Tactics, or as Navilius says, like a Fire Emblem. I don't know where the like League of Legends element comes in. I don't know if you've ever played any MOBAs, Sierra.
Just Unite.
Because I know Pete is a big League of Legends fan. So like, if it combines three of his favorite franchises into one game, I would imagine it's definitely in his wheelhouse. So I'll have to get him to check it out.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, I'm interested now. Between that and I've been eyeing Tactics Ogre as well, where I'm like, oh yeah, this looks like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's the year of tactical games. They just keep coming out.
We got a date on Advance Wars yet?
No, but it did get like some sort of online update last week or something.
Oh, I saw that. Did it get pushed to the eShop?
I haven't seen it pop up there, but I don't know. I just follow that Twitter account that's like always posting like what games are getting updated on the Nintendo Switch, and that one popped up last week, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that means something is happening. Maybe.
Are you into tactics games at all, Sierra? I know Pete and Chewy are big fans.
I'm not. My first tactics game has been Digimon, which I just beat. I liked it, but like I don't.
But so did you like it because it was Digimon, or did you like it because it was a tactics game?
I think I liked it because it was Digimon, but it felt like a good like baby's first tactics game. So now I'm gonna borrow three houses from somebody and see how I like Fire Emblem when I get time.
What about that Pokemon game that you played, Chewy? The like Pokemon tactics game?
Conquest, right?
Pokemon Conquest. Love that one. Still have it. I've been wanting to replay it for a long time, but games just keep coming out, and I'm like,
I know, then I forget. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one's great, though. That one's like Gen 5-ish era. Not a huge fan of those Pokemon, per se, but I did like, I don't know, just all the games that came out of it. They were fun.
So the only other tactics game I could think that I would recommend you pick up, Sierra, if you haven't, is Mario Rabbids, because it's always like $10 on the eShop, because Ubisoft just try and chuck it away.
It's a tactics game?
Yeah, Mario Rabbids.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like Odyssey, but you got some rabbids running next to you.
It's a tactics game.
The more you know. Interesting. Yeah, all right.
You definitely should check that out then. It's a really fun tactics game. It like eases you in nicely. It's fun. Like I actually really like the Mario Rabbids characters. Yeah. I loved like Rabbid Luigi, I think, was one of my favorites. He had like a really good weapon.
Rabbid Peach makes me die. She is hilarious throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a really good one. And super cheap all the time. Next question comes from Trendy Brendy. Have you guys tried out Pokken Tournament? The game trial is there's a free game trial, and it's the price is cut until the 24th to celebrate Pokemon World Championships. Additionally, what wacky Pokemon picks would you want in a hypothetical Pokken sequel? No rules, turn Professor Oak into Heihachi, is that how you say that, if you want. The unfortunately ex-Patreon supporter Trendy Brendy, penny pinching my way to university this week. Sorry. No, honestly, Brendy, never feel the need to apologize. Like we get it. Everyone's in the same boat. But we thank you for your support anyway. So yeah, I've never played Pokken. I don't like Pokemon really, and I don't really like fighting games. So Pokken is just like two things that it has two marks against it that I just would not care about ever. I'm guessing you've both tried it.
Yeah, so long ago, like when it released on the Wii U.
Okay. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I played. I played the Wii U version as well. And unlike you, I like Pokemon in the past. I used to play tons of fighting games to the point where I'm like, I don't know, they're kind of samey to me, but this one always was like, yeah, I should probably get it at some point, but never have. But I did. My brother did get the Wii U one, played that with him a few times. Right. And I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. But never got the Switch one.
But you think you'll try the game trial? What is up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it'll also give us platinum points to download it and try it out. And I need those to get as many of the Animal Crossing icons as possible.
Right, right.
They've got me playing freaking Pocket Camp again just to keep getting points.
I have not logged on to do any of those things because I know I would get sucked in. But I did not realize you got them for the game trials, because I've tried a couple of them. I did the Monster Hunter one, and I think I did another one more recently. So I'd imagine I've got some points for that without realizing.
Yeah, they automatically pop up. Like, you don't have to check in on it. They'll just give them to you. So I'm sure you've got them.
I used to get so many from Miitomo, and it was so easy.
Yes.
I would just go and visit a friend's room in Miitomo, and they'd, like, have a little conversation for a little while. I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then, like, they'd be like, here, have some platinum points. And then I could go and spend them on things, and it was great. Or just, like, opening the eShop on the 3DS, you used to get points just for looking at the eShop.
I think you still do. I think you still get those points. I don't know if they will keep going since the eShops are going to get shut down, but you do get them if you, like, log in weekly to, like, My Nintendo. If you click on that little Switch Online button every week, you'll get some points for that. So you get them here and there. But rest in peace, Miitomo. For anybody who's ever seen my little profile pic icon from anywhere, that's from Miitomo. I will not let it die.
I had the one where, you know, like the like the love pose, like led down, like you know, posing like you're in Titanic.
Yeah,
I had that one for a while. That was my pose. I liked that one.
Yes,
love it.
What about Brenny's other question? What wacky Pokemon pics would you want in a hypothetical Pokken sequel?
The last evolutions of all of the Sword and Shield starters, I think, would all be perfect for Pokken tournament.
I want, is Vanillix one of them? Ice Cream Cone Pokken tournament. I always want the weird ones.
Yeah,
I want the weird ones that don't even have limbs to fight.
What about like the star one? What's the one that's just a starfish? I feel like that one would
Starmie.
Yeah, I feel like that one would be hilarious. Like, how does
it just
that even
throws
fight?
Itself like a shuriken?
Yeah, didn't it, I think Pokken Tournament already has Chandelure, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I love that. Funny. It's a chandelier, just fighting things.
What's that gonna look like when it gets the crystal things on it in the new Pokemon game? Is it going to be a chandelier with extra chandelier on its head?
Yeah.
They should. Because if they're going to make the goofy bit, they should do it to the nth level. Like, and just, like, go all out.
Lean into it. That's all I can say.
Oh, God.
Just lean into it.
I didn't get a chance to talk to you because I was away on that episode. And that was my takeaway from that direct, was that how stupid that thing looked. And I was just like, I don't understand why it looks that dumb. I really do not get it.
I love them. Make them dumber.
Do you not just wish, though, at some point they would just stop and just go, let's just make a basic Pokemon game again, but with great graphics, fully open world, and like have the monsters speak for themselves and the designs of the monsters like be the draw and not this stupid chandelier gimmick.
I mean, I feel like that's what they think they're doing every time they remake the first game. They're like, let's make a great looking Pokemon game. And we're like, good job. Whatever. I guess we bought it.
They're going to run out of ideas, and then there's going to be a Pokemon game where they all transform into cars from the Cars movie, and it's just going to be like the cars.
Every
Pokemon transformers.
I always laugh because every new Pokemon gimmick, I'm like, Digimon did it. Like, you're just taking the Digimon thing and
right,
doing
like
that.
Mega Evolution. Yeah. And I was like, oh, who's copying who now?
Mm-hmm. And now they're doing like the armor Digivolve thing where you get your special hat, you get your crystals on your head.
You change type. All it is.
Yeah.
You know? It's like using different crests, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did Digimon turn into vehicles first then? Was that like a Digimon thing? Because obviously they turn into motorcycles as well.
Oh, there is one that gets a motorcycle, but I don't think it turns into a motorcycle. Okay, let's try it.
One of my favorite quotes, in the Digimon movie is when Terriermon evolves and into Gargomon, and then they're just like, he has pants now.
yes so good. There's unfortunately there's just the one that is like he gets a motorcycle, and then there are like train Digimon, but that's it.
Mm. Is that really unfortunate, though? Like, would you want them to turn into vehicles?
I mean,
I'll...
Some of them already are vehicles. One's a literal train, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like at one point we're going to go down that route. Like, they're going to run out of ideas.
And we all get in the car and we play a game of Mario Party, but we can't get out of the vehicle. And it's like Pokemon Party and we're just riding the Pokemon around the board.
Yeah. In vehicle form.
Yeah, that would be my idea of hell. any other ideas of Pokemon before we move on?
I guess not. Like, I like how Trini Brenny was like, yeah, like, get Professor Oak in there, like, get some humans fighting some Pokemon. I would like to see it. I don't know who.
Oh yeah, that new caveman lady. She looks really cool from the the new game.
Oh yeah, she could fight a Pokemon.
Along with Mr. Blue Steel. Like, I'd love to see who would win out of those two.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to our talking point for this week then, which is Kirby's Dream Buffet Impressions. I know you've both picked up the game, have played it to varying degrees. I have not been able to pick up the game yet, but we've got some footage playing from Game Explain so everyone can kind of get a feel for what the game's all about. It's like a Fall Guys style game, right? You run along a course. Do you want to give us like the lowdown, Sierra, of like what you do in the game?
So today I played in like the race mode. There's several. The race mode does spiritually feel like Fall Guys in that it's a you race to the finish. Like, there's a lot of obstacles. There's power-ups at certain checkpoints along the way to the finish line that you can use to your advantage to either speed up or, like, remove certain obstacles, get things out of your way, knock people over, etc. And then when you get to the end, you got to eat a big cake. It's very cute. In that way, it feels like Fall Guys, but I think it has... And I guess like Fall Guys, it has like other modes, which I think Chewy could speak more towards, because I only got to do the race today, but I had fun. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the race is like, I'd say it's like the main thing. It's probably where people are going to be most of the time. So it's broken down in a specific way. Like, there's one part of the race where you all just like race, right? And then the next part is a quick little mini game where you can get some extra strawberries in that part. And then the last part is yet another race within a longer like battle royale sequence after that, where that's just your last ditch effort to get as many strawberries as possible, or, you know, knock strawberries out of the player in the lead. Because I'd say the big difference between this and like Fall Guys is that like the winner isn't determined by just like reaching the end first or outlasting the characters. It's literally like which Kirby has gotten the plumpest from eating on this course the whole time.
And it's just eating the strawberries, so it's not like eating the rest of the
fruits.
Thing. Okay, so you can pick up other things, but it's always fruit. It's not like, because I'm watching the footage now and the course is made out of like sandwiches and hamburgers. I can't eat the course, I presume.
Yeah. The course itself, it'll stick to Kirby, and it just becomes like kind of like Kirby's got a mess all over his body as he's rolled around.
Okay,
but
cool.
Yeah, it's just the fruit that you eat the whole time. I think there's like blueberries and cherries and strawberries, obviously, but. As far as the other modes, there's kind of like a free mode where you can test out a bunch of the abilities and stuff, kind of mess around there. Nothing really competitive about it. So
Kirby has abilities then, or are they abilities you pick up on the board?
Yeah, so you'll run into like kind of item blocks like Mario Kart or something. Sometimes they'll have an ability, sometimes it'll just give you extra strawberries while you're rolling around. But different abilities, there's like one where you turn into a wheel that makes you go really fast and you'll hit people out of the way. Another is like you turn into jelly, and that lets you like bypass some of the stuff. You don't get hit by enemies or take damage or anything, so... That one's pretty nifty for its own reasons. But yeah, there's like 9-ish abilities that you can get. And yeah, they all kind of do different things. Some of them are more like attack related. Others are more like speed or stealth related.
And I guess you can see from the icon what they are, or is it a random thing like a Mario Kart block?
It'll be a random thing in the block, because like you're not always going to get an ability. Like I said, sometimes you'll just get strawberries out of the block.
But it sounds like then some of those abilities might actually be more of a hindrance than a help. Like if you're going through an area where you don't want to go super fast and it's more precision-based, because there seems to be areas where it's like, you know, a thin row of churros or something, like a bridge you've got to go across, and you don't really want like a giant wheel to make you speed through it, because otherwise you might fly off the course.
Yeah, and that gets more dangerous as you get like bigger and bigger. Like as Kirby's gets bigger, he can only float for so long, so the float ability, like you'll be able to avoid falling off of the course and everything. It does slow you down if you fall off still, but if you're really big, you're gonna fall off if you get too knocked way off course and can't get back, and then that'll cause you to lose strawberries and stuff, so you want to avoid that. But yeah, I mean, some of all the abilities will have like their optimal uses if you want to win, because oh man, it gets intense at the end. And when you're like the biggest Kirby there, I find that's like usually the worst, because everybody targets you.
And so you mentioned the race mode and like the ability mode. What are there any other modes in there?
Let's see, I've got the game open right now. There's some little sections where you can like look at some like Kirby history, for example. Like there's a rewards menu where you see like all of the different things that you win, because you level up as you like finish races and stuff, so you'll unlock music, you'll unlock little what's the word? They're like little cookies and stuff to decorate a cake that's in the plaza. So you can just like go to that cake and put whatever arrangement of stuff there. And then I'm trying to remember, as far as the game goes, it seems like most of it is that like race mode though. Like you can choose how to play. There's a battle mode if you want to just like do the battle stuff, but I think that's like local multiplayer. Like on the same console, and then the online mode you can either play with friends or just against random people.
And the online mode, can I have multiple people on a single console like I can on Mario Kart, or is it just like I'm playing with you two and Pete and then that's it, we've all got to have our own Switch?
I don't think it lets you play with multiple people like Mario Kart. That's always a question that I have for these things. But yeah, as far as what I've seen, it seems like it's just like you log in with one player and the other person needs to have their own Switch and internet connection as well.
And how have you found the online? Is it actually solid for once?
I think it's worked very well, and I'll say the big thing that I really like about it is, like, if you play with friends, this always irked me in, like, Nintendo Switch Sports, where if you play with friends in that game, like, you're not getting points toward all of the outfits and stuff. Like, you literally have to play the single player online to unlock those, but in this, like, everything's completely open. If you play online with friends, like it'll just unlock all the things the same as if you were playing with random people.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That was one nice thing. But yeah, no, otherwise it's felt pretty fine. I think it's like slowed down a couple times for me, but other than that, it's been pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. But nothing like, say, like I'm sure Sierra suffers it all the time in Smash, where it just like freezes and stops working for a good while until
it hasn't gotten that unplayable for me. No.
Good.
There is a cute little spot in the, they call it, what do they call it? The hub is like the main table or something. They gave it some cute name as if it's like a meal or whatever. But one little section, it takes you through all the like Nintendo Switch and 3DS games for Kirby. And if you click on them, it just gives you a little description of the game and stuff.
Aww. Oh, that's cute. So, like a little museum kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. A little museum.
No, I always appreciate that. That's one of the things I liked in Mario Party Superstars, like you could go in and you could pick like which your favorite Mario Party game was and stuff, even if those boards weren't in the game, which still annoys me that we've got no DLC for that game. So of what you've played so far, I know it's not much for you, Sierra, but how are you enjoying it? And do you think like the comparisons with Fall Guys is a fair comparison? Because it sounds like it's way fewer people and there's maybe actually a lot more to it than Fall Guys, whereas Fall Guys is just like run down a hill. From what Chewie's said, like there's abilities that you can pick up, there's the whole mechanic of growing in size and not wanting to be the biggest and being knocked off and things like that.
I think as far as like depth with the like race mechanic, it's, I'd say in that sense, like deeper than Fall Guys. But I think the place where Fall Guys kind of wins here is that there's like a lot more variety to the challenges.
You can go between the modes, right? There's like that one where all the hexes fall down. There's one where you're like on a rotating platform and you just got to stay on it until the end. Whereas these courses are all race to the finish line?
Yeah, they're all race to the finish line, except for like, you know, the little mini games that are in between those two races, and then the ending being kind of more of a battle with all the other Kirbys, while also collecting strawberries. But yeah, I'd say like there's basically like three modes that this game has. The mini game ones are very simple. Like you're really just like collecting extra strawberries and it's only, you know, a race to get the most in that. So I don't know. It all kind of feels the same. Whereas Fall Guys, I feel like there's a lot more variety and it's free. I mean, like this game, $15. I mean, it's not the most expensive thing, but you know, with Fall Guys, you could just go get that right now and enjoy kind of a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't recommend it to someone based off of like a Fall Guys like recommendation. I would say like, oh, if you are a really big fan of Kirby, like get it because you're going to adore it. It's adorable. But I don't think it would offer much in the way of like Fall Guys like gameplay. And I would probably just tell people they like Fall Guys, just stick to that.
I do have a burger on my head, though, and my Kirby is a strawery color. It's great.
Oh, so you can. Yeah. There is like a level of customizability burger with the outfits, like there is in Fall Guys.
Yeah, and when you unlock them, you actually can use them instead of having to pay for the pass.
You know what? Frustrates me even more, following on from last week's conversation, because it feels like so many. We've now got two games that are ripe for live service or free to play, and Nintendo are just refusing to go there. Like the model is clear for this game. It's the Fall Guys model. You make the game free because it sounds like there's maybe not as much here as I thought there was, and you make the money on the cosmetics. People are going to love dressing Kirby up in a different color, or dressing Kirby up to look like Mario, or to look like Zelda, or to look like their favorite Splatoon character or whatever. Everyone would love that.
Yeah, I honestly feel like they had no reason to like keep it off of the Switch Online plan. Like if they just added this to as an expansion pass benefit, it'd be.
I think it would do better. But we've even had games on the main level, like of the base level, like Tetris 99 was on
Tetris
the base
99.
Level. I think that other Kirby free-to-play game is online, so you have to have an online subscription,
Pac-Man,
right?
Pac-Man 99. I think is also...
Mario 35
Mario
was on
35.
There.
Oh, so sad. Mario 35 should have stuck around.
Yeah. I don't know. I worry that people would pay $15 for it, and then... They'll get their run of it for, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 hours out of it, play it at a couple of parties or something. And then they'll just never go back to it because I can't imagine Nintendo keeping up the updates to the same extent as Fall Guys will be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say there are a lot of things to unlock as you play. I think there's like 135 ranks that you can go through. So you start at one and you'll level up to 135 eventually. So there's quite a bit. But yeah, like Sierra was saying, this is definitely more like, here's a Kirby game for Kirby fans, like just to be a fan of the series and stuff. Because a lot of the collectibles are cookies, and it'll tell you like what Kirby game it was from and that sort of thing.
That's so really cute fan service. And like, I love the hands in the background, like just clapping away when you win at the end of the race.
Yeah. It really does feel like just like a little museum for Kirby. So yeah. In that aspect, it's cute.
It sounds like you think the price is wrong, then, Chewy. You think it probably is a little bit overpriced, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say 10 max would have been fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. $10.
Yeah, or part of the plan. Just add it to Switch Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think add it to Switch Online or maybe pay for the offline functionality, but I can't see that that's where people are probably going to be playing the game anyway. It's good to know that the online is decent, probably one of the better Nintendo games, because I still remember that stream we did where we played Mario 3D World and how unbearable it was. We just had to bubble up.
Yeah.
It was awful. But Sierra, you've played one match so far. Would you recommend picking it up if you're not a Kirby fan? Is there still a good game in there, or is it just a case of if you're gonna go play something like this, go play Fall Guys?
I would say, like, if your criteria for a game that you're like if you're looking for something right now and you're not interested in like anything else, you want just something like fun and just like fuck around and do whatever type of game, like I guess I would recommend it then. Like if you're not interested in like all the JRPGs the Switch has to offer, you're really just like surface level Nintendo fan, and you just want something like you could pick up and put down as you please, yeah, I'd recommend it then. But like, I personally don't know how much I'm going to come back to this. I was like, I'm going to get it because I saw the trailer and I was like, okay, this is cute. Mm-hmm. And I just want to see what it's like. But the replay value is too soon to tell on first impression. It's a big question mark. So then how can I recommend it, you know? It's got to be like someone who's like really into Kirby. Like, or be just like, I don't know what to buy. Like, here you go, $15 game, easy.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it could have started off as like a mini game in a Mario Party game, and it's expanded beyond that scope. And they just were just like, yeah, let's make something out of it. And I'm sure that's not what happened because it's the Kirby team, and they're obviously making all these things to celebrate Kirby's birthday. But I don't know. I kind of expected a bit more when I found out that it had a cost to it, because I know we did an episode where we all speculated that would this be Nintendo's first free-to-play title, would it be their first, like, well, it's not even the first free-to-play Kirby game, right? But would it be their first proper live service game? Would they commit to that? Would they go down that model? And I just I really don't know when that happens at this point now. Like, because I thought we were going to get I thought we were going to get it with this one. We didn't get any inkling of it with Splatoon 3, even though there's still features in both of these games that I would expect in a free-to-play title. So, if not this, when do you think it's going to happen? Like, is it this year? Is it next year? Is it the year after? And what game do you think is the one that just makes Nintendo go, all right, fine, we're going to do the live service thing?
I feel like this is probably going to be like a next console thing at the earliest for Nintendo. And I think I'm between two options, but I don't know if they would do it with one of them. Mario Kart, I feel like it's just such a top seller for them that they're not willing to do that with that game, because they're like, they know they're going to get money off of it. Right. So my other thought is like, I feel like they might just make a new IP to test this out. Like, just something completely new. And
but I worry that that won't have the draw that they're expecting from a free-to-play game.
Right.
And then they'll just give up on the idea and be like, oh, it didn't work, it wasn't good enough. Because look at what happened in the mobile space.
They've done it.
They had all of these fresh IPs that they were running, right? And they've slowly been shutting them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nintendo's done that before, where they'll try something out and then just like never ever go back to it.
Like live action movies.
It's a shame. Yeah. Live action movies. The thing I think of specifically is, like, I think that on paper, fundamentally, an Animal Crossing party game is a great idea, but their execution was so poor and, you know, bashed all over the place with Amiibo Festival, I don't think they're going to try it again. And I'm like, but there's potential there. There's potential in that idea. Or at least, like, you know, work it into the mainline games. Give us some proper mini games in online multiplayer again. But I don't know.
I know. They're always so precious about their properties. Like, I'm sure they shudder at the thought of giving anything away for free, anything Mario, Zelda, Splatoon. Well,
did you read Reggie's book, Sierra? I know
I didn't.
Chewy did, and I've read the snippet of it where it's about the pack-in game being like they want to make Wii Sports like a pack-in title, and the reaction that Reggie got from Miyamoto was basically like, we don't give stuff away for free, we make really high quality software you wouldn't really understand, kind of thing, like that kind of visceral reaction that he got.
Yeah.
And
don't get it, Reggie.
Yeah, you just don't get it. And I can imagine that's really the reaction they get all the time, is they probably just don't get it. And I don't think Nintendo gets it. Like, they've got an install base of 120 million consoles, and they see it as, well, if we sell to 10% of them, That's $60 million we're making on those games. How much are we going to make if we make it free to play? Like, I think they could probably make a hell of a lot more if it's like a free to play Animal Crossing game on mobile. Probably makes them a shit ton of cash. Can you imagine if they made like some free to play Animal Crossing party game and brought it onto Switch? It's like their top selling franchise on Switch, aside from Mario Kart at this point, and it's like, I really think Smash could have been a free-to-play game as well. Like, look at how Multiverses is going. Mm-hmm.
I know. It's so weird that, like, they haven't had the confidence to just dive into this concept already when they're Nintendo. They're such a household brand. Like, I don't know where they could begin. But I'm just kind of like, why not for the next Switch, like, try something new? Like, what's the worst that could happen is it fails. It's not the first failure they would ever have.
Would you like to see Smash go free to play? And if so, like, what model would you kind of want them to follow? Would it be like a battle pass, or would it be like pay for each individual fighter, which I think is how Multiverses is doing it?
Yeah, I think the Multiverses model is cool, and they should try it, because, like, I can't believe that game is $60 sometimes. Like,
I mean, it's $60 plus it's like, isn't it something like $20 for each Fighters Pass as well? And there's two of them, so
yeah,
comes out like 100 if you want the whole roster of characters and all the stages.
Exactly. I mean, like, I guess if they made it free to play, like, there's probably like still like a handful of characters I'd probably dish out mad bucks on, but like, I don't need 80, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that then gives them the scope and the reason to keep adding things as well, and experimenting with different modes and doing different things. I look at how Fortnite kind of took the model and ran with it, and we got all of this experimentation, all of these cool new modes, like a new story and a new season every 3 months. It's like, you've got they could really take it and do like the WWE treatment with it, where they make certain characters like villains and certain characters like heroes, and like you're fighting against each other and you like pick a side. Like you could make a whole story out of it, like the original Smash had, which was like these toys have come to life kind of thing. And you could I think they could really run with it. I don't know that they ever will at this point, because now is like the era of the live service game. Really, it was last generation that started the era of the live service game. I mean, you could even say back prior to that, like the original Destiny on Xbox 360 and PS3 really kicked it off. And like, it's been now being two generations, and they've never really got on board.
Right. They're just set in their ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty slow at that. And I mean, in some ways, they've like messed with those types of play with their mobile games, but even then, like,
I don't think they ever gave the mobile games like a fair shot, and they just shut them down when they're even making them decent money.
I mean, Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing and Mario Kart are still going, and they're both kind of, they're all three of those are in that model. Pikmin, Pikmin and Pokemon Go, at least, like, those fall under Niantic, and they do their own thing that's kind of different. But I'd say the Fire Emblem, Mario Kart Tour, and Animal Crossing Pocket Camp are more traditional mobile. But then even then, like, they were hesitant to go that direction because they had Mario Run as well, where they're like, you could buy this game for $10 instead of just playing it, you know? So.
But yeah, but they did the whole fresh new IP thing first with Dragalia Lost. That was one of their first ones that they pushed out after. And it just didn't get enough traction, I don't think, and they ended up shutting it down. But they went fully into the mobile with that one. Like, it's a full-on gacha game. And, you know, you've got to buy all the currency and all sorts of things. But people loved that game. And I worry that they'll do the same thing. Like, if they do what you've suggested, where they come up with a fresh new IP like they did with ARMS, it doesn't do as well as it could have just because it's not got Mario or it's not got Isabelle on the cover, that people are just like, well, I'm not going to bother downloading it because I'll just go play, you know, Fall Guys for the millionth time, or I'll pick up Fortnite and play that one instead.
Yeah.
They'll end up giving up. They'll just be like, no, it didn't work. We're not going to revisit that. We're not going to try it again. They do seem to give things, the weirdest things, a fair shot. And then stuff like games that I kind of feel like could have the longevity, they give up on super early. Like, that Dr. Mario mobile game was out for like 3 months and then it was gone. But Labo, they made like 4 different versions of it and it was seemingly not selling at all. They were like, I ended up picking up the set with the piano in for like $20. It was so cheap in the end because they just could not get rid of it.
Yeah.
Please buy our cardboard.
It's hard to sell the box that your games come in, you know?
we got Game Builder Garage out of that, but then even then they never really did anything with Game Builder Garage to the extent that they could have. I don't know. I'd love to see them commit and persist a little bit more, I guess. But Chewie, you mentioned like an Animal Crossing party game. We've obviously had a couple of successful spin-offs of Animal Crossing. I mean, you could maybe even say the cards are a successful spin-off, but I think really it's Happy Home Designer and Happy Home Paradise are the two really successful spin-offs that we've had. And one of them's DLC, the other one is its own spin-off. Kirby is clearly like a big fan of the spin-off. It has been in all sorts of games, anywhere ranging from being a massive ball that eats food to going skateboarding. What other spin-offs would you want to see from Animal Crossing or other franchises? I'll pass it over to Chew, but I do want to hear what you think as well, Sierra. Specifically Animal Crossing, because I know you've probably got some in mind, Chewie.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, I've mentioned this one on Haken before, but we need an Animal Crossing rhythm game where we're going on tour with KK Slider.
Oh my god,
just play
all
of his KK Slider songs. I would play that all day, every day. I don't know. I think it'd be cool if they also made like a little villager creator for that, where they're like, all right, create your villager to go on tour. And then you could get like different little bandmates to play with you in the bands. I think that'd be cute. So that's the big one I'd like. I feel like Zelda needs some more spin-off things. I feel like every Zelda game tends to be like a big Zelda game that's part of the timeline and everything.
We had one, right? Cadence of Hyrule was not that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was them dipping their toes in to see if it would work for Zelda. Because Mario's had an absolute shitload of them as well, with all the sports games that he's in, and, you know, party games that he's in, and paper games that he's in. Like, it would be great to see other franchises venture out. But what would you want for a Zelda game? Because obviously we have the rhythm game now, but what else is there?
I mean, why not make Paper Zelda? Paper Zelda sounds fun. I think a turn-based RPG Zelda
would be really cool.
Oh, I love that.
Everyone always wanted Zelda really Maker cute. As well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they were playing with that idea with the Link's Awakening thing, right?
I know, but then I worry that Super Mario Maker 2 didn't do very well. So they're like, well, no one likes these kind of games. And so they put it on the shelf, and it was just like, yeah, but you saturated us with so much 2D Mario in the space of like 2 months. We had new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe that came out 2 months prior to that. So it's like, what are you doing with your release schedule?
Yeah. They probably ran into that issue. And honestly, Super Mario Maker 2, they took out the amiibo functionality, where you could get all the 8-bit versions of all the characters when you scan in their amiibo. And I'm like, why? Why did you have to take that out? It had no... They didn't need to. It was great. And now amiibo do a lot less than they could do.
What about you, Sierra? What spin-offs would you want to see from Animal Crossing or otherwise?
You know, Chewy had really good answers. I like, I guess, because Animal Crossing is like, can't do a fighting game that goes against everything it stands for.
add Tom Nook to Smash.
Just add Tom Nook to Smash. I guess like... a Pokemon life sim game would be really cute. Or like, I follow these artists that always draw Pokemon in like real life day to day situations. Like, imagine if it wasn't about fighting. Imagine if it was just about like you like raise Pokemon as like your little pets, and like you have like a house that you build up. Like, like you live on like a little bit of land. You can, like, travel into the city to buy things, and life is really quaint and uncomplicated. Yes. I think that would be a really good merge of my interests.
You know,
for
what
sure.
I would love to see is you play the mum who's left behind in the house on her own when her kid's gone off, and you're just, like, worrying all this time because you've not heard from him, and you're, like, you have to, like, check in and nag on him, and he's like, hold on, I'm in the middle of a Pokemon battle, and you just, like, hear all the stuff going on in the background, but you don't actually ever get to see it because you're just on the phone with him. And then she goes into his room, and she finds his, like, GameCube or whatever console he's got plugged into his TV, and she gets, like, really into video games, and... There could be like a whole visual novel element in there, I think, where maybe there's like a dating sim because she's now, you know, got the nest to herself.
Oh, yeah.
She goes and meets other hot dads in the area or something whose kids have also gone Pokemon hunting.
Find the Mr. Mime in your life.
I was going to say professor, but oh, no, that's sadly probably more accurate.
I love that. I would love just a life sim Pokemon game, because there's so many like little aspects to Pokemon where I'm like, oh yeah, there's of course like the breeding aspect where you're like, oh yeah, let's just get Pokemon together, make some more Pokemon babies. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe you could pick a career then. Maybe you like pick a career and you go, you know, you're building out your character at the beginning and it's like, what career are you? I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a Pokemon breeder, or I work in the Pokemon clinic and I like nurse all these
Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon
Center. Uh-huh. That just did you either of you play Fantasy Life on the 3DS?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, that game is great. But you basically had like a bunch of different jobs that you could choose from, and they all played like pretty differently, and you could do different things with those tasks and stuff. And it's an RPG basically, but that as Pokemon, that would be great. There's so many things where you're like, you could go be a Pokemon Ranger and, you know, protect the wildlife kind of thing. Or you could just be a chef and cook delicious Pokemon food, you know? I think if they took that concept for the game and applied it to Pokemon, I'd get that right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to explore that world more without having to go and do the same game over and over again. Because, you know, the only other time I feel like we've ever got to see the world without capturing Pokemon was capturing them with a camera instead in Pokemon Snap. And you never really get to see the world that way. You're just like on a safari trip. It's not like you're going out and about and exploring and getting into the nitty gritty details that are in the world of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Right.
And while they're at it, just make Pokemon Stadium 3.
You know, that's like such a huge game for people, and I don't know why, it just never registered for me. I don't know why I missed the Pokemon boat when I was a kid. I really don't.
It's all right. Yeah, you either had to like be there for it, or just had a lot of peer pressure from friends, or you just missed it. It's one of those things, I guess.
My sister was big into it. Like, she had a binder with all the Pokemon cards that she would like put in, and it wasn't like an official binder. She like put all the cards in, and she would like, you know, the plastic wallets you can get to go in like ring binder folders.
Yeah,
she would then just staple the like cards it like into the pockets.
Oh my
and stuff.
God,
she would like then make little pockets with the staples and put them in there. So
DIY. Yeah.
Yeah. We never had anything official. I don't even know where she got the Pokemon cards from. Most of them are probably fake from people at school. But you know, you don't really care when you're a kid.
I love fake Pokemon cards.
You're big on the Digimon cards at the moment, I saw.
I just keep collecting them. I've got a nice, decent stack of Digimon cards now, and I'm happy about it.
Right on, brother.
All right, well, I think that'll wrap up today's show. I don't really have any ideas for other spin-offs. I guess like the only thing I would really want is for them to just expand Mario Party in the same way they did with Mario Kart and bring other franchises into it. I'm sick of seeing Rosalina all the time as the one enemy I play against. Can we have someone else, please? Like, give me Link, give me Isabelle, give me whoever, you know? That's, I think, what I would really want. But thank you both.
Get that Star Fox racing game.
Oh, that would be nice if that ever happens. But you said all the retro games get cancelled, so I don't think we're ever going to see that one.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
But thank you both for joining me. It's been a fun one. It's been a weird one with no Pete and a new surround and a new host and everything, but yes, this has been fun. Thank you.
No worries.
We shall be back next week with I think some Amiibo talk, because Pete forbade us from talking about Amiibo while he was away. He was like, he's put in the document, save these for a week when I'm around, please. So part of me really wanted to talk about those without him on the show. I think it would have been really mean, though, so we didn't end up talking about Amiibo, apart from that little bit at the end where Chewie couldn't resist. But we need to show off Chewie's Amiibo collection, because he showed us off camera. So I think next week will be the week we talk about Amiibo. But you can catch us everywhere else. Like I said at the top, we're on twitch.tv/flipscreengames every Wednesday and Thursday and most Fridays. So come check us out. Don't forget to check out Sierra and Chewie as well. The links are in the description. You can find us everywhere else that we are on flipscreen.games. That's our website. And we shall see you next week. Bye!